You are listening to Studio 41.
Hello and welcome to Quiz Time India, India's first quizzing and trivia podcast. This is your host and quizmaster Aditya. Every week on the podcast, we bring you interesting people from across the country, people to share and discuss trivia with. But this week, we have a slightly different program, a different agenda. With everything that has been happening in the last couple of weeks, we thought of changing things up a little bit. So, which is why today's episode is slightly different. Which doesn't mean that it's any less fun, but just slightly different. In today's episode, we don't have one, but we have three special guests. Yes, not one, but three. And in fact, you know all three of them. So, here's the story. Ever since we have opened the podcast to the audience's donations, we have been preparing some bonus episodes for our paying listeners. A little bit extra just to say thank you. Even you can in fact donate to the podcast to receive such amazing bonus content. We work on a pay what you like basis. The link is in the description. Now, coming back, for the first time ever, we will be releasing one such bonus episode with earlier, which was just for a paying audience. This episode has been compiled from never heard before bits of the podcast. I really, really hope you enjoy it. You will be hearing bits of my conversation with Deeptokirti Chaudhary, Manasdeep and Vishnu. All three, as I mentioned earlier, have previously appeared on the show and I'm quite excited to bring you this. First up is Deeptokirti. Deepta was on the show a couple of months back and quite a few of you enjoyed that episode. So without any further ado, welcome to Quiz Time India. We are talking about a tiny town in Karnataka. Arasalu is the name of the town in Shivamoga district. Shivamoga, earlier it was called Shimoga, famous for sandalwood. So Arasalu, as I said, is a small town. Now, there was a railway station in Arasalu, which has featured on screen quite a few times, in quite a few scenes. And now, the station is in ruins. So, what Indian Railways has decided is to take the old station and make it into a railway museum.
Okay.
And for the actual work of, you know, railway station, a new station through which 5 trains will pass every day will get a makeover at a cost of 1.3 crores.
Okay.
Which will include beautifying the station and, you know, maintaining the station. That will be the new station.
Mm-hmm.
And the new station will be renamed to pay tribute to perhaps the only reason why this town is famous. So Arasalu is a tiny town in Shivamoga in Karnataka, and there was this old railway station which featured on the screen in quite a few scenes and which pretty much made this small town famous. Now the old railway station on which the scenes were shot is in ruins, so they're saying that will be made into a museum, and instead of that there's a new station which has come up and it will be brand new spanking station. But it won't be called Arasalu, it will be called with a different name in a way to pay tribute to the only reason why this town is famous. All of this, you have to tell me, what is the railway station being renamed to? That is it.
Okay, Shivamoga Railway. Okay, so there is obviously some Bollywood connection to this railway station name.
Sort of. Not exactly Bollywood. Okay, I can tell you, I should tell you rather that much. Not exactly Bollywood.
Okay. And, but, I mean, okay.
It's not Bollywood, but it is close enough. It's in the ballpark. As I said, some scenes were shot here at the old station, and that made the place a little bit famous, and now as a tribute to that, they are renaming the new station, they're giving it a makeover and stuff like that.
And they are doing this because of you mentioned something was shot here.
Yes.
And that's the reason why it is being renamed.
Yes. So the thing that was shot there made this place relatively famous, at least in the neighboring areas in the state. And now they want to give a tribute to that thing that was shot there, and hence they are naming the new station after it.
Okay. So it is, I mean, Bollywood, but not really Bollywood. Okay. Train. Is it anything to do with Doordarshan?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You are on the right track.
I'm just thinking that there was a couple of shows that were shot around railway stations and trains and all, but were they big enough to rename a station? So, I mean, in, because I can't even recall the names. I mean, I remember there was a train, I mean, but that was located in a train called Yatra. That cannot be okay. I'll need some more hint.
So you are on the right track. You are figuratively also, because it's you know, the railway question and track, but you are on the right track. You, we are thinking Doordarshan here. Doordarshan, this show which was shot in Karnataka, some of the scenes were shot at a railway station and along the railway tracks, and so this is what one of the primary characters, one of the people who played one of the primary characters, had to say. Arasalu railway station was perfectly suited to recreate British era scenes. Every morning we rushed there to record two shots, one for the English version and another for Hindi. The first shot was taken on the right platform. When the train returned after 20 minutes, the second shot was done in the opposite directions. And this person goes on to conclude that these are evergreen memories. This person played one of the most important roles in the Doordarshan series. And this is what they had to say. And if I can give you a hint, we already somewhere mentioned the person who is behind all of it. In all the conversation that we had before, we mentioned
the name.
Who is responsible
is
for
this,
all this.
Is this Malguri Days? R.K. Narayan's Malguri Days?
Yes. So, the Arasalu railway station is being renamed into Malguri.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Great. I mean, it all falls into place now.
Yeah, so they Shankar Nag, who was directing the show, did not want a chaotic place for the railway station and the town, because it had to have a rustic ambience to it, and they narrowed down to Arasalu because they could go down there quite easily. And then they got R.K. Narayan there, and he visited the place of the shoot and he said, yeah, I approve of it. And a lot of Malguri Days, especially a story called The Old Man at the Temple, was shot at Arasalu. And yeah, that is the right answer.
Okay. Very interestingly, because I mean, in the context of the previous R.K. Narayan, R.K. Narayan was completely shocked that his Malguri that he had described in so lovingly in the guide had gone to Jaipur, Udaipur and all of that for the movie. Yeah. So he completely disapproved of that. But so I'm glad at least this one he approved.
You know what, we're talking about the guide. I think the Hollywood version of guide is also on YouTube. I have not seen it, but I had saved it somewhere, but I don't remember going back to it. But I think that's also on YouTube, and it's like 1 hour 45 minutes or something.
Yeah, so the
Hindi one is
The Hollywood version of guide was absolutely panned, and it flopped and all of that. It was supposed to be shot back to back, but Vijayanand saw the directors working, Ted Danielski or something the name was, and he refused. He said that I'm just not going to be, I mean, an Indian film will not like run like this. So he completely reshot the guide at a considerable extra cost for the Hindi version. I mean, deviating totally from the English script. Thank God for that, because Devanand made all his money. I mean, he lost a ton of money in the English version, but he made up for all of that in the Hindi version.
So the Hindi version did well.
Hindi version did well. It is I mean, thanks to its songs and dances and spectacles and the emotion and everything, it was considered, it's still considered one of classics. But R.K. Narayan, of course, was... he said that, I like the film, but it is not R.K. Narayan's guide, it is Vijay Anand's guide.
Makes sense, makes sense. All right, Dita, over to you.
Okay, so my last question is that since we talked about Shah Rukh Khan, I mean, you were thinking of Shah Rukh Khan a little while back for one of the answers to your questions. My question is about a Shah Rukh Khan film now, not a very famous one. So my question is, which part of the movie English Babu Desi Meme was sponsored by Bhilwara Shootings Private Limited? So let me explain that. Like, usually many brands now do brand placement, do sponsored segments in films, TV shows, etc.
Yeah.
So, some part of English Babu Desi Meme was sponsored by Bhilwara Shootings Private Limited. Bhilwara Group is a very large, obviously, textiles and company. So, what did they sponsor in English Babu Desi Meme?
English Babu Desi Meme. So, I don't remember the movie, but Bhilwara, where is Bhilwara on the map? It's quite famous. No, I can't place it though.
Yeah, Bhilwara would be a Rajasthan brand, but that has nothing to do with... the thing is that Bhilwara owns several suiting brands like Binesh, which was... endorsed by Sunil Gavaskar at one point in time. Incidentally, Dinesh Karthik is named Dinesh
Karthik
because his father was a big fan of Sunil Gavaskar and thought of naming his son Dinesh. So
after Dinesh Shooting.
Correct. So I will now give a bit of a hint. The Bhilwara Group also owned the brand Mayur Shootings, of which Shah Rukh Khan was a brand ambassador around this time.
Yeah. Mayur kya hit kya fit was their brand line. So what part of
English Babu Desi Meme, a Shah Rukh Khan starer, was sponsored by the Bhilwara Group, of whom Shah Rukh Khan was a brand ambassador at that point in time?
I mean, I could go for they did all the suits for English Babu, but that would be quite direct. Won't that be too direct?
Yes, so I mean, Shah Rukh was their ambassador. So all the clothes he was possibly wearing Mayur suit.
Mayur.
But there was something else in the film that was sponsored by them, which was okay. Let me. Do you remember that?
I'm just going to take a random guess here.
Yeah.
Is it Mayyat ka kapda or something like that?
No. I am feeling a little, speechless thinking about the, the brand guys of the Bhilwara Group, if that got sponsored for whatever reason. No, it wasn't that. So let me give you
Zindagi ke saath bhi, Zindagi ke baad
bhi. Let me give you the next bit of a hint. If you recall, at that point in time, Shah Rukh used to appear in this ads, and the ad was because they used to call him Shah Rukh Mayur Khan. So that in the ads he was called Shah Rukh Mayur Khan. So that's the kind of a hint.
Are we talking about peacocks here?
No, something a little more direct than that.
So Mayur was also read. Mayur, Shah Rukh, Mayur Khan. What did they sponsor? What could... English Babu Desi Meme. Who featured in the movie with Shah Rukh Khan? If
Sonali Bendre.
What would Mayur Shooting, what would Bhilwara Group sponsor? I think you'll have to give me a hint. I can't think of anything here.
It was... Okay, let me put it this way. The whatever they sponsored was there for pretty much the entire film. Or let's say 70-80% of the film.
Okay, interesting. So Shah Rukh Khan's I'm thinking it could be his clothes, but that doesn't sound too novel. I mean, that could have been done earlier also.
Yeah, that's correct.
I can't think of what else can be there which they'll sponsor and which will be pretty much, you know, running through the course of the movie. Is he the owner of the company in the movie?
Yes, I'll give it to you. So what happens is that Shah Rukh Khan's name in that film is Vikram Mayur.
Okay.
So they basically sponsored Shah Rukh Khan's name, or I think if I'm not mistaken, it is also the name of the company. So Shah Rukh Khan plays this business tycoon who comes to India from London or whatever. So he owns this company, which I think was called Mayur Industries or something, and his name was Mayur. So they actually sponsored his name in the film.
That is such... I think those brands don't exist anymore, right? I think...
No, Mayur does. Mayur does still... Because Mayur has been advertised by Virendra Sehwag after that and Nawazuddin Siddiqui till about a year or couple of years back when I last noticed. So, they retain that same style. So, it is like Nawazuddin Mayur Siddiqui. That... I think if I'm not mistaken, so it was Virendra Mayur. Sehwag.
Yeah.
Incidentally, one of the curious things about English Babu Desi Mem is that the costume designer, at least for Shah Rukh Khan in the film, is Gauri Khan. So Gauri, I think she's a graduate of NIFT or something like that. So she has some sort of a professional qualification, and in the mid 90s there were a bunch of films like Karan Arjun, Bazigar, Dar, Anjam, English Babu Desi Mem, and you also mentioned Ram Jaane. So Ram Jaane had that famous thing in which Shah Rukh Khan used to wear a suit without anything underneath it. So he used to
that was
Gauri Khan's doing.
That is great. I'm actually looking up. Yeah, you're right. Mayur, Virendra Mayur Sehwag. And I can see Nawazuddin also wearing Mayur suits. And I think they, post-COVID, they've also gone into making masks now, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Hello and glad you're still with us. Up next is our guest number 2. We had Manas Deep on the show, and this is the Never Heard Before bit from Manas's time on the podcast. And before I take you to the next guest, the next segment, let me remind you of Studio 41's very own newsletter, Discontent. Go to discontent.crd.co and you'll find the newsletter. Each week we bring you music, movie, reading and watching recommendations. So yeah, check out discontent.crd.co, or the link is in the description. And now, on to the podcast. The question is about hippos, and not just any hippos, it is about wild hippos. So wild hippos are generally found in Africa, but there is one cluster of hippo population outside of Africa. In fact, it is the biggest hippo cluster slash population outside of Africa, and it is nowhere close to Africa. In its new home, these African hippos were able to grow unchallenged, as there was no predator who could harm them. And in fact, these hippos grew wild and became a threat to everyone else. Few humans who came their way had really bad incidents, some of them even fatal. What I want you to tell me is, where are these hippos and how did they get there?
I think I know this. This has something to do with Pablo Escobar and Colombia. But what is not known to me is how the hippos got there. I know that he had a personal zoo, if we might call it that, of his own. And he had many hippos there. And I think those hippos even today are a big nuisance, and there's some talk of either relocating or killing them. yeah. whichever was less merciful, less merciless. But I really am not sure how they were relocated to Colombia.
So you are absolutely correct. That is exactly what happened. Pablo Escobar, outside the capital of Colombia, around 150 kilometers outside, was his estate where the man got what are now known as cocaine hippos, because that's where the money came from, and he wanted a zoo for himself. So he got one male and three female hippos from Africa. But after that, what happened was, this is from a BBC article, the rise of the so-called cocaine hippos began in 1993 after authorities killed Pablo Escobar and seized his luxury estate, Hacienda Nepales, about 250 kilometers northwest of the capital, Bogota. Animals found there were distributed to zoos across the countries, but not the hippos. And this is what someone says, it was logistically difficult to move them around, so the authorities just left them there, probably thinking the animals would die. Now, what happened was these hippos multiplied, and according to scientists, they are now spreading through one of the country's main waterways, which is the River Magdalena. And last month, the article came out in 2018. So in 2018, a study published in the Biological Conservation Journal said culling the animals was the only way to mitigate their environmental impact. But of course, there is a lot of people who are against killing these hippos. But on one side, there are people saying if you don't kill the hippos, they will destroy the local flora and fauna. And on the other side, so it's a very catch-22. People are not able to pick one, and there are more than 110 hippos now, so they are definitely growing because there's nothing to stop them. So you're absolutely correct, well done on that one.
Wow, as if the Colombians didn't have enough economic issues to resolve. Yeah, this is absolutely interesting. How do you even manage to research these questions, man? Wonderful.
This I have to give credit. This is from an old friend of mine, Dayanand. Dayanand was, in fact, one of the first people on the podcast. He just sent me a WhatsApp message and he asked this question. I couldn't answer this question. Then he told me this is what had happened, and then I did the research. So I can't take credit for this one. You should take the credit. You cracked it in a jiffy.
In all fairness, actually, I had heard this trivia before, although in a different fashion. You know, it helps to be a part of multiple cuisine groups founded during the lockdown
and the pandemic. So, yes,
but brilliantly framed, thanks for that.
All right, your turn now, next question.
Okay, this is an easy one. This is something we've all seen. I have owned two of these, so this is a kind of a tribute question. So the question goes like this: close to the launch of this then globally awaited product, some of the names suggested for this were the budhu as in Hindi for stupid,
okay,
then X and despite X, among others. X here is a much talked about political heavyweight. We know, okay, X more in the regional sense, but as on date, X is very 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 talked about, very much talked about. There is no news report on any news channel that won't feature X.
Okay.
And the finally chosen name was Peppy, and also representative of the size of its one of its kind products. Identify X, and hence the final name of the product.
Interesting. Quite interesting. So, I have few things that have caught my attention. One was that one of the earlier suggested names was Buddhu, as in a simpleton or a fool in Hindi.
Yes, this was a suggested name. It was not the chosen name. So I think there were, since this was a much talked about product, some people said it was not possible for this product to be created. So therefore, some people out of skepticism, or some people out of whatever they felt about the audacious attempt, they tried to sort of attach certain names, hoping that they could stick.
Then you said a politician, and you mentioned the regional sense. I think there's only one who possibly could have fit the bill. So I'm thinking it was a play on Lalu Prasad Yadav, somewhere around that. So it became like a Lallu, which kind of is similar to Buddhu. Am I on the right track?
Not Lalu Prasad Yadav. You are very close to the actual geography. We are talking of a more gracious name than Lalu. And as I said, the politician in question, they are always in the news, even this day. As of this moment, if you were to switch on your TV set or go into the internet, you would find coverage on them.
Could you repeat it once again, the initial bit of it?
Okay. So, we are talking of a huge globally awaited launch of a certain product.
Okay.
Some of the names suggested for this were the Budhu,
okay,
X, and Despite X. Despite X is kind of satirical, given the role that X played in kind of the project not happening finally in the way it was expected to be. X, as I said, is a much talked about and very much in news today political heavyweight. And the final name which has chosen was Pepe, and also representative of the size of the product. That's how the question goes.
Pepe.
Yes.
You own two of these.
I have owned once and replaced one by another, if that helps.
Are we talking about some kind of a mascot or something on those lines?
Let me put
it
this
figure?
Way. Not a figure. It's an actual brand, a big product, which many of us use. If you were to go and look for this product today, you wouldn't find it. Stopped making them.
And that's where Pepe comes in. What was Pepe? I'm thinking what products were there which... And you said politics today. So right now, as of the first week of April 2021, in news, if you go, there's definitely Bengal, which you said is, which also fits the bill that it's close regionally to Bihar. Lalu was my first guess. Am I on the right track there? Is it some Bengali connection?
Go on, Aditya. There's very much a Bengali connection here.
So something and despite something, and they later went on with Pepe, which was sort of synonymous with the big, like how big the brand went, and it's global. It was globally known or globally launched.
No. I think I'll have to clarify something. The final name was not Pepe. The final name was something. Let's call it Y.
Okay.
It stood for the product being very peppy and was representative of the size of the once of a kind product.
Okay.
No, it's
so
a
what
very...
product? Interesting. What product, and there's a politician's involvement, that's why the whole satirical name, despite this politician, and then they named it something else, which became quite big in its own. I'm thinking what products that we use, which are not currently manufactured, or at least easily available, is one, if I can put it that way.
This particular brand is no longer available for purchase, and... perhaps we haven't used this particular brand so much in the last, in this particular category of product so much in the last 1 year. At least those of us who have paid heed to the
government guidelines. Are we talking about a transportation? Is it a means of transportation?
Yes, we are very much talking about that.
That makes sense. We're not used much in last year. And Bengali politician perhaps... Did Mamata Banerjee have was there a factory issue with something in Bengal?
Got everything except the final name. Yes, you're very much there, Aditya. Very much there. Place yourself in 2008-2009.
You'll
have the answer.
Nano is very small. Nano wouldn't make sense for the size of it.
So are you going?
Actually, it's Nano. It's Nano.
It is Nano indeed, Aditya. And Nano, actually, if you try to pronounce it in Gujarati. It could be pronounced as Nanno. Nanno is, I think, Gujarati for a small kid. And I'm sure you will agree with me when I say that it was Peppy. And it was one of its kind. Yes, so I owned two of these, replaced one with another. And let me tell you, tell all the naysayers that I actually went from a road trip from Jamshedpur to Shillong, five people in my Nanno, returned non-stop except for lunch breaks and some bio breaks. We had no issue at all in that road trip. Amazing car. Too bad we don't see them anymore being made.
And now you'll be hearing an extended bit from the podcast episode featuring Vishnu called Hyderabad, Kargil and Solar Eclipses. So stay tuned.
So in USA, the biggest cities, like not only in USA, in India also this is valid to an extent, but the telecom revolution initially happened in USA, so let's talk about USA. The biggest cities like New York has, sorry, STD code for New York is a smaller number. I think it's 111 or 111. But if there is an unimportant or a smaller city, the pin code, the telephone code, sorry, not pin code, the telephone STD code was a bigger number, like 999 or 009, some bigger number like that. 900-800-888-999. So this was done. New York used to get more calls. Some small city used to get lesser calls. And that's the reason, that's one of the reason for this, for these numbers. But I'm looking here for, I need a technical reason. What was the technical reason behind this numbering? So I think this was done in 50s, 40s and 60s, 50s basically. After the World War, the telecom, like everyone started getting telephones during the World War and after the World War. So think about the technical ability we had, we means the phones had at that time. Technical ability the phones did not have at that time or had at that time. And why were these bigger numbers to the smaller cities and smaller numbers to the bigger cities were given at the time? You can find the same concept in India also. Delhi is 1011, right?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah, 011, Mumbai 022.
Yeah, these are bigger cities. They had, they got smaller numbers. And if you go go to the smaller towns, smaller cities, they got bigger numbers.
What could have been the logical reasoning? Technical reasoning for it. So I'm imagining that these the bigger towns got the number first, so the counting started there. Hence the shorter numbers.
And no. I'm talking about a technological reason. Technical, I mean the technological reason. Think about the telephone technology which was available at that time.
Is it something to do with what base you are counting in terms of, you know, how binary is base 2 and, I mean, our system is base 9 and that's how they were growing?
No, not related to binary accounting system. It's a technological thing. Just like we have a touch phone now, we had a button phone before. I think what we had at that time, that's the end.
We had the circular thing going on. So did we start in a... Okay. I think I have the answer. So because...
You've seen the circular dial, you got the
Yeah,
answer.
Yeah. I have. I think I've used it also, perhaps when I was a very young child. So with larger numbers, you had to... if, say, it was a 8 or 9, the circle would go on for longer, as in you... turn it around and then it goes back. So there's a longer time there. And that is perhaps the reason why the, you know, the, since 011 would be very easy to do compared to a 0147 kind of a thing. So calls going to Delhi could be connected quite quickly. Is that on the right track?
That's the answer. So 01, it's 111 can be dialed easily. It's just, it's a second. If you want to dial 9, you need to go 360 degrees from 9 to this side, and it needs to go back. So 9
go
9,
back
9
all the way. Yeah, exactly.
So that's the funda. So the technological reason is the round dial, which takes the entire 360 degrees to go back, to come forward. That's the reason. New York used to get more number of calls, so that's easy for the operators to operate.
Yeah.
We used to have telephone operators at that time, right? It was not automatic. They used to connect. We had the telephone centers. They used to connect, and all those things were there.
So you would call an exchange, and I think not many people had a number. So I remember watching these old black and white movies, especially American ones, where you would just call a city and tell the exchange that I want to speak to so and so person, and they would connect you, because not enough people had phones.
Yes. So for them, they used to take a lot of time to dial all these things. So they, New York used to get more calls, Washington used to get more calls. So they simply kept 1-1-1-2-2-2, some smaller numbers. I don't remember the exact pin code. So those these cities had smaller numbers. Same with Delhi and Bombay. I think Calcutta is 3. I'm not sure. Delhi is 1 and Bombay is 2.
I think Calcutta is 3 or Chennai is 3 and Kolkata is 4. I'm not so sure about those two.
I'm not sure about it.
All right.
So that was a technological reason. Technical reason.
Interesting. Quite interesting. And with that, we move to the next question. We are talking about a game here.
Okay.
This game is usually played by single player. But apparently you can play head to head. So I can play this game and you can play this game, and then later we can compare who did better in our own separate games. And the game became popular in 19th century Europe. There are multiple variants to this game throughout the world. One of the most popular version is called Klondike. K-L-O-N-D-I-K-E, possibly after a Canadian region where gold rush happened. So a lot of miners ended up in this Canadian region called Klondike, and it is said that maybe they also started playing this game, since it's a single player game, and hence they came up with a new version of the game, which gets its name from the region, that is Klondike. Now, much later, as I said, this is 19th century Europe that we're speaking about, and gold rush in Canada, maybe turn of the century. I'm not so sure when that happened. But a tech giant that we all know, introduced it to a whole new generation. And this is in the late parts of, say, 1980s or 1990s, somewhere around that time. A tech giant introduced it to a whole new generation in order to acquaint its users to a certain feature. A feature which we all are familiar with. And if I have to find a Indian connect is that Jawaharlal Nehru, if I'm not mistaken, used to play this game while he was in prison, which was a long time. And being alone there, he used to play this game. What you have to tell me is, as I said, what is this game which has European roots, possibly, or it became popular in Europe, then a Canadian version is popular, then a tech giant introduced this game to a whole new generation, to our generation, in order to acquaint its users to a certain feature which nowadays we just use. So what you have to tell me, A, what is this game, and B, what was this feature that this tech giant wanted us to learn?
So the tech giant 80s was a giveaway for me, because I made a question on this.
Oh.
So it's Microsoft. And they just, the user interface, the OS, the mouse and everything was new in the late 80s. 84, the mouse was introduced by Apple commercially. And then everyone came up with the OS interface and mouse. So it was, I actually made a question. Yeah. So it was to make the people familiarize with the drag and drop feature of the mouse.
Brilliant.
And the game is obviously solitaire, the cards game.
Yes, absolutely correct. So you got all of it right. So solitaire is the solo player game, and one of the most famous versions is Klondike, which came, possibly the name comes from the Canadian region. Microsoft wanted users who had never possibly used a graphical user interface to understand how to do drag and drop. So this game where you had to move a deck of cards left and right was an easy way to come to think of it. It's very ingenious of them to use a game to teach you a feature, but it makes sense once you know about this. Like, yeah, obviously you could have done that.
I literally never played this game. I know all of this fundamentally because I made a question on it and I realized it.
What was the question that you had made? Was it same trivia or was it something else?
I did not put the Canadian part and the gold rush in. I only kept about the tech part of it. A company wanted to educate the people on the user interface tech change. So that's what I had. And I had the designer's name. The lady who designed this game, she later went on to Apple and she designed something else at Apple.
Oh, interesting. I did not know
that. Or maybe she was at Apple and then came to Microsoft. She has contributed to both the companies. So I started with her, and the answer I was expecting to answer was the solitaire and the drag and drop feature.
So today together we learn more. You learned about the Canadian rush, gold rush, and I learned about the lady from Apple who moved to Microsoft, or the other way around. All right. So, turn for your next question. Your final question. Yeah.
So, my next question is again related to something in technology. Or you can say it's a continuation. Yeah, it can continuation of the previous question. But this is as planned, not because you just asked that question.
Okay.
So, vestibular system is responsible for transmitting the motion sense to our brain. There is something called vestibular system inside our ear.
Okay.
Inside our ear, there is something called vestibular system, and it is responsible for transmitting the motion sense to our brain. Okay. A commercial launch of a technological innovation by a tech giant in 2013 led to several people experiencing disagreement between the eyes and the vestibular system.
Okay.
Which ultimately resulted in nausea and vomiting.
Okay, fine.
Which tech innovation has caused the miscommunication between the visual and vestibular system? So, I'll explain you this. While you're looking at the eyes, you're sensing the motion.
Correct.
Okay.
Fair enough.
But your vestibular system is not sensing the motion.
Okay,
when such confusing signals go to the brain, you usually have motion sickness. Brain gets confused, and that's how the motion sickness happens. When you are in an aeroplane, you're actually moving, but your eyes and ears won't sense the movement.
Correct.
That's when the motion sickness happens. But similar thing was experienced by many users across the world, majority of the users across the world, after a launch by a tech giant in 2013. So, which tech giant and what did they launch? That feature is still there on their products, but that was initially it was a compulsory feature. Like, it will be there. You can't remove it. After people started experiencing this, they made it an optional feature. You can activate or deactivate it.
Interesting. Quite interesting. You know, when you started...
If you're using one of their products, you must have seen this feature, or maybe you must have experienced the motion sickness also.
Interesting. When you first mentioned this, my first guess was going to be maybe Apple's AirPods.
Okay.
But I don't think that is what it will be.
No, so, because we had earphones and headphones since...
Exactly. Before
70 also. Or 80 years.
Yeah. So, my next guess, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not so confident about this. But my next guess has to be, is it those VR sets that we have now in the market? So, you just put on the VR set and you are playing a game inside. So, your eyes are, in a VR set, you could be in a roller coaster, but you are not actually in a roller coaster. So, your eyes are noting something else, but your body is
not seeing, feeling any emotion, and hence there is a bit of a sort of I don't know what the word is, some conflict of sorts.
Maybe they also give this sense, but no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one particular company which launched this, not VR sets. Because if you're using a VR set, usually you move your head here and there, you tend to walk. There are many games, right? So not exactly VR set. This is, you're just sitting and doing something, you may sense the motion sickness. Just a common thing which you do, but you might sense the common motion sickness because of this. You're and right about the tech giant, it's Apple. What did they do?
In 2013.
Do you use any of the Apple products, the phone or iPad? You must have, you know this feature then. You know this feature? I don't know if you have experienced it or not.
Is it to do
I experienced
with,
no, it I don't think to it... an extent.
Yeah, no, I thought it will be the screen turning around, that feature that happened, the issue that happens, like you take from landscape to portrait mode, especially for an iPad, you take it from landscape to portrait mode, it keeps shifting, so it keeps moving around. But I don't think that will cause anyone nausea.
No, that feature was there since the iPad was launched, landscape to portrait mode, no, so that's not it. So the feature which I'm talking about is both on iPad and iPhone.
Interesting, quite
and
interesting.
It is also on other Android devices now, but it was first bought up by them.
I don't have the faintest idea right now, but I think the fact that you mentioned it was it's now on a lot of Android devices, so I'm assuming it should not be that much of a... Are we talking about a game here?
No, not a game. It's a feature.
Is there any hint that you can give me or anything?
Virtual reality is somewhat you closer, but I think virtual reality on an iPhone. If you have an iPhone, just take it and look at it. You'll get the answer maybe. That's a bad hint, but...
Okay, tell me the answer.
Okay, so you take an iPad and move it up and down. So the apps and it's a parallax effect. It's a 3D, the app looks like it's in a 3D space.
Okay.
You know that, right? When you move the iPad up and down, the app and the, what you call it, the background is not constant. They keep apps move as if they're in a 3D space.
Oh, I actually don't know much about it. I'll have to look this up. And with that, we come to the end of this bonus episode. I really, really hope you enjoyed this. Thank you for tuning in and being such an amazing listener. Cheers to you. That'll be all for today. See you soon.